This session was recorded at Journey Underground, a recovery ministry of Journey Christian Church in Fairbanks, Alaska.
All right, let's give them a thanks. Thank you, you guys. All right, I asked my wife, Glenna, to come up and share her story. So come on up here, Glenna.
I'm just going to read this. This is just a bit of my story that I've written up, and Stan asked me to share this tonight. So some of you have heard my story before, but I was raised in a very religious home, but also an extremely violent and abusive home. My dad was a very sick man in many ways, and he terrorized our home day and night all the years I was growing up. There are not words to describe the torture and abuse that my mother, my siblings, and I went through during those years. My dad made my two older brothers leave home when they were teenagers. My younger brother was in and out of foster homes because of the intensity of the abuse. And I grew up to be an angry and confused teenager with no idea how to relate to others or to God. I was sexually abused by my grandfather for a period of about 15 years, starting when I was 7. I never told anyone. As kids, we were told never to talk to anyone about the things that went on in our home. So I grew up with everything bottled up inside. The abuse continued into adulthood because I was terrified of my grandfather and didn't have the strength inside to say no or to protect myself or the courage to tell someone about it. I was married and had two children of my own before I was able to separate myself from him by moving to another state. I cannot tell you the depths of confusion and despair that gripped my life as I knew nothing of how to have a normal, healthy relationship with other people or with God. I was completely unprepared for life out on my own, yet it was coming at me like a freight train. My parents moved to Texas with me and my two younger siblings when I was 15. My dad promised us a new life and said that things would be different for us there. And I remember being so full of hope. As it turned out, that wasn't true. With my two older brothers gone, I was the oldest child at home and was constantly in the middle of my parents' fights, trying to protect my mother. It was a living nightmare, and I was awake through every moment of it. One night, my dad beat me with a wooden chair, breaking two of my ribs. I ran out of my room onto an upstairs deck and jumped to the ground below to get away from him. A policeman found me sitting along the road in the dark, crying. He told me to get into the car, which I did. He took me out into a field close to my house and molested me, and then took me home and told me to get out of the car. He said he could do nothing about what was going on in our home. I wanted to die. I ran away from home the following year when I was 16 and caught a ride to Florida. From there, I went to Atlanta, Georgia, and became involved in prostitution, drugs, and alcohol, and a life that was so lost and unbearable that many parts of it have been completely blocked out of my memory. Since that time, I've been told of things that happened to me there that I have absolutely no memory of whatsoever. I'm convinced that were it not for the constant care and mercy of God over me, I would have been completely destroyed. There were countless times and situations in my life that I should never have survived or come out of alive. I was completely hopeless and saw no reason or way that my life would ever change. I felt like I was drowning and coming up for the last time. In 2005, as my second marriage was coming to a close, I knew that my life was completely out of control and that I was powerless to change it in any way. My lifestyle led me to such despair and self-hatred that it was all I could do to survive each day. I truly did not know where to turn for help. At this point in my life, I didn't even know what recovery was or that it was even possible for me. That is when God brought Stan Bourne into my life as a homeless drug addict. We became best friends, and there wasn't anything we didn't talk about or share with each other. The absolute mess that both of our lives were in was obvious to both of us, and I told him that what I wanted more than anything was God. I told him that I was going to head toward God the best I knew how, and he assured me that God would certainly have nothing to do with him. I disagreed, and I said that I would not go without him. This would be a journey that we would go on together. As the year went by, we were inseparable and began to talk more and more about God and our desperate need of Him, although we were still heavily involved with drugs and alcohol. God was calling us on a journey to freedom and complete healing that neither of us ever thought possible. Stan began to challenge me to make some changes in the way I was living, and although neither of us realized it, he was actually challenging me to a step three, to turn my will and life over to the care of God. I knew that my life was at a place that if something didn't happen soon, I would self-destruct. I was completely and totally ready to run to this God who loved me and give him my broken heart and life. I took it so seriously and so extreme that I didn't stop at anything. I made some hard decisions about my lifestyle and stuck to them. I sold my Harley, changed my entire circle of friends, quit going to any and all of my old hangouts, quit coloring my hair. I gained some weight on purpose. And I gave Stan my cell phone, and I learned how to have boundaries in my life, which I desperately needed, and I learned how to have a no face. God knew I meant business, and he came running to me with so much love and so much grace. He completely changed my entire world. Stan and I began to study recovery and identity and the way these things work together, and we began to apply the things we were learning to our lives. We began studying how the wounds from our past affect the way that we see ourselves and others, and we begin to heal in miraculous ways. My life has radically changed from what it used to be, and there's not one thing I can think of that I need that I don't already have. The recovery of my life is nothing short of a miracle. On July 4, 2007, Stan and I were married. We have awesome communication and no secrets. We are in hot pursuit after God. He is our life. We stand in awe daily at what he can do with a couple of losers who make the decision to turn their will and lives over to his care. Our deepest desire is to reach out to those who are hurting and broken in the same way we once were and help them receive hope, healing, restoration, and love. I used to wonder why God would let me go through so much pain and suffering. But now looking back, I'd do it all again to be able to be used in his kingdom and have compassion and understanding to those who are suffering in the ways that I have. I live to let the love of Jesus Christ flow like a river through me to my world. With every beat of my heart and until the angels close my eyes, I will love. Psalm 41:3 says, I waited patiently for the Lord to help me, and he turned to me and heard my cry. He set my feet on solid ground and steadied me as I walked along. He has given me a new song to sing, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see what he has done and be amazed. They will put their trust in the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, old things have passed away and all things have become new. It says that I am a new creation. It's amazing. It's wonderful. It's a miracle.
Thank you. That's super cool. That's super cool. I wonder how many of God's miracles are in here tonight. Like, if you have experienced, like, there's no other reason for you to be alive today other than God's dealing with your life, intervention in your life, and you know that God has dealt with you and you are his miracle. Could you stand up? Look at this, guys. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, that's super cool. All right, we've been going through the Beatitudes. Tonight is Matthew 5:6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. And I love the story Glenna shared there, and you could see her hungering and thirsting for righteousness. I just love that. But I also think all the time about how many stories that we don't have up here, they don't come up here, all the things that we don't get to hear that God is doing and how he's moving in your lives. And so I hope to be able to feature more stories and more people up here to be able to share that with all of us so we can all get encouraged by that. Let me go ahead and start this. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Let me start with a story. Just kind of go the long way around, right? You're like, yeah, I go the long way around. All right, just hear this story and let it speak to you in whatever way you want it to speak to you or how you can put it together. Okay, so there's a husband, right? Husband and wife, they have children. Ladies, you could see yourself as married to this guy, powerful guy, loving guy, this amazing human being. He's got a lot of wisdom, character, and together you guys have children. And this is based on a true story. In this story, I like to see this guy as kind of like my dad. I'm one of the kids, you know. But for the ladies, you know, this could be your husband, right? And you guys own a lot of property. Let's say you have 20 miles on a lake. Yeah, these hills, huge property, cabins. On one side, there's a little store that helps, you know, keep goods for the town. And you own that too, right? A little farther down the way, there's a little school for the kids. And a lot of goings on there, close-knit community, animals, gardens. I mean, you just have this whole estate. This is a big, big deal. And your husband runs this with you. You guys have mad vision. Just an awesome life. What an adventure. And your husband is this guy that knows how to do this. I mean, he gets the gardening, the animals, the school, the stores. I mean, he just gets this. I mean, life is just coming out of this mad property of what you guys have together, and you just can't believe this is your life. Together, you guys live in a little cabin. It's not real elaborate because most of your life's out there, you know, going on out there. You work real hard, but you love this guy. Then war breaks out. War sweeps through the land, right? You guys tracking with me? This is a pretty good story, huh? It's not bad. This is more than the trailer, okay? This is going a little deeper in. It's where I turned 50 this year, so it's kind of weird for me. Kind of doing some new, what is it all about? Like, I don't know, is that a midlife thing? Am I dangerous now? I'm not really sure. I used to kind of be a tough guy or feel like I was a tough guy, but this is kind of what I turned into, guys. Like, this is it. Yeah? I don't know what to do with that, but if I were to, like, strangle you, you would say, oh, wow, your hands are so soft. So that's kind of what I've become. I don't know. My wife was so happy to finally have a sensitive guy in her life, but, like, 2 weeks into our marriage, she's like, who used all my body wash? Sorry. All right. I am a sensitive guy now, just this real nice, soft person. We might get carpal snuggle syndrome in our house, one of those. I used to be so different, you know, it's weird. You know, I did have this girl really waving at me over in Kauai on the beach, but I wasn't going to swim out that far to save her. Sorry, I wasn't going to do that. All right, moving on. That wasn't bad, huh, was it? Wasn't bad. All right, I got one more joke. Let me see. Kaylin's inspired me here. Stay away from graffiti in the bathrooms. Like, don't read it. Don't do it. I read some the other day. It caught my eye, right? It said, Stan's a loser. And I'm like, hey, you know, it upset me because I'm Stan. My name's Stan. And the other thing that upset me is I was in my parents' bathroom. All right. I'm like, come on, guys, let's talk, right? All right. So war sweeps through the land, right? Your husband being a guy of character. Let this really speak to you, okay? This guy being a man of character enters the war. He enters the front lines because he's a man of principle. And you watch your husband leave your house and your kids and go fight. And this is a scary time. This is a scary time. So days turn to weeks, weeks turn to months, and weeks turn to years. It goes on and on. Like, what in the world, right? You look out over your property, the lake getting trashed, the school, stuff going on in the school you never imagine would go on in a school. The store all of a sudden has this liquor store attached to it and all kind of weird stuff going on in the store. And this was your store. the food, the animals, all this weird stuff's going on. But as a wife, you're hunkered down. This warfare has sent everything in limbo. You don't know really what you own and what you can control. So you're just trying to hunker down and live. This is kind of the story. But then, a lot of you guys know where this is going, right? But then you get a letter in the mail. It's a big, fat letter. And it's from your husband. And now, you're excited. Your hands are shaking. What in the world? You open this letter, and he begins to tell you, "My sweetheart, we have been victorious. We have won. I have been part of a great, great victory. This has been a long fight. I know you've been waiting. Victory is ours." And he lays out details in this letter of how to deal with children, how to live amongst the people, how to look at your own life, how to handle finance. And he lays out details of how to live. And he tells you, "I am on my way back. I will return. I'm coming back. Just hold on." And he lets you know that when he comes back, he's not just coming back alone. He's bringing all the plunder of his victory to you and the household. I mean, is that crazy? Is that cool? Does that resonate something in you? It's like, hey, I kind of am hearing a different story here, right? And he encourages you to read this letter often to the children, to yourself, amongst the people, to encourage yourself in this. Hey, I'll read you this right here. Revelation 21 says, "I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. There was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God.'" Listen, guys, he'll wipe away every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more death, mourning, crying, pain. The old order of things has passed away. He's making everything new. This is what's coming. And he tells you in this letter that I'm coming home, and everything that's wrong, we're going to make it right. Like, I'm coming home, I'm bringing my victory, hold on, and when I get there, I promise I'm going to make it all right. I mean, does that strike something in you, strike something in me? Maybe just because I turned 50, but it really strikes something with me in a real deep way. Now, I'll kind of, we've been wrestling with this a bit, but I'll kind of show you something I wanted to show you. So here's the earth, right? This is a little different than I normally do. Here's the earth. This is kind of like God, our human space, what we call human space. In the scriptures, you see about our human space. Then we have this other expanse, right? The second heavens type deal. But then we have the third heavens out here. You know, this is where God lives. And we'll call this God's space. And as you guys know, the intention's always been for heaven and earth, God's space, man's space, to be one, for them to be one. That was always the intention. But we had a separation. We experienced a rift, a tear, where human space and God's space was torn apart. It's super interesting. This is real basic stuff, but I have to have it basic or I'm going to get lost, right? So God came up with a really cool plan, a way to do this. He created this thing called a temple, right? Here's my little temple. I'm going to put a cross on it, even though it doesn't really match history. But he came up with a temple where a person could experience God's space in human space. Isn't that cool? Like a hot spot, right? Hey, I'm modern. A hot spot here where we could experience this space here. And he made it a clean space through blood. The sacrifice of these animals, a person could go in, this space was cleansed, and people would be cleansed, and they would go in and get to experience what it was like where God rules and where God dwells and where his teaching is made known, where it's all about the people of God. And then, as you know, Jesus came and he became this very thing, this temple, this hot spot, this clean space. It said that he came and dwelt among the people. Like, and that word dwelt, as most of you know, is tabernacle, is this temple. He became that very thing, that clean spot, that hot spot here on earth. So as you can see what's happening here, heaven and earth are meeting through Jesus. Super cool stuff, right? And as you guys know the story, his death, his burial, his resurrection. Hey, if this doesn't really click with you, at least hopefully let it stir you up to think about how would you draw this, right? How would you draw this? This is how a very sensitive 50-year-old man draws it, right? With body wash. I want to smell like eucalyptus meadow. I really do. All right, I really like this picture. So when he ascends, he sends his spirit in who? In us? Cool. So check it out. We're a body, soul, spirit, and we talk about that here. So where's our body? Right here on the earth, right? That's us. This is you. Here's your soul. Is your soul on the earth? Well, I'm putting it a little bit above, because your soul lives in between the spirit and the body. So I'm putting soul here. And where am I putting spirit? Look at where I'm putting spirit. How cool is that, guys? I really like this. He says that you are seated with Christ in heavenly places. See, my body lives here. My soul's in between going, what are we about? Am I about this world? Or am I about this world? So I put the soul in the middle, our mind, will, and emotions. He says we're seated with Christ in heavenly realms. Or he says that we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing. Where? In heavenly places. This is my true identity. And so you can see how the change has to occur, where I'm getting downloaded this direction. Isn't that cool? I think that's super cool. All right, so you can see here the benefits of fasting. Can you guys see the benefits of fasting? Where body's going, hey, it's about me. Hey, body has had the reign and the rule my whole life. And now I'm saying, no, it's not about you anymore. I'm going here. And I want you to know who's in charge. So I'm going to cut you off for a while. And I'm going to recalibrate. Prayer is about this realm. I'm praying in the spirit. I'm here, guys. I'm praying in the spirit. And I want you to know one of the tricky things, one of the weird things about prayer and walking with God, even worship and music, guys, is what's body doing? Body's getting real mad. I'm not experiencing anything. I'm out of here. No, it ain't about you, body. This is about what God says. This is about God's rule. This is about his reign. This is about his realm. This is about what's going on in heaven. This is about what the Bible says is true. He says, I'm dead to sin and alive to him. And so my prayer life is based on the fact. I'm not talking about what it feels like here. I'm talking about the fact that it's true. Wow. Right? Super cool stuff. If you want to start becoming a spiritual giant, like start leaving this realm and going into this realm and just saying, I'm walking here. I'm living here. I don't feel it, don't experience it, and body's all mad. I don't care, body. You're going to have to realign. Super cool stuff. Imagine the excitement of that woman who gets the letter and she knows he's on his way home. He's coming home, and he's bringing victory with him. He's bringing all the goods, and he's going to make all of it right. Think about how you would look at the lake and go, yeah, pretty nasty now, but it's coming. the vision that we have. We're going to make it right. The school, go on. You're all a mess. I see it, but I'm seeing something different now. I'm seeing the store. I'm seeing the people. I'm seeing everything different because he's on his way home, guys. And when he comes, I promise you this, he's going to make it all right. Think about the energy around that. And so this is what we're saying here. When he's saying, blessed are they that hunger and thirst for rightness. When you open that door and you look out over the lake and you look out over the school, you look out over the trashed culture, you're hungering and thirsting for rightness. I want it right. And he's on his way. He's promised he's coming. He's already won. It's all going to be made right. And see, the people Jesus was talking to knew all about hungering and thirsting. It wasn't like us. I don't think I've ever been hungry a day in my life unless it was my own doings. You know, in some way, I'm doing something weird, you know. But the people he was talking to lived on an average of 3 cents a day. They were heavily taxed. They ate meat maybe once a week, and it certainly wasn't Outback Steakhouse, right? Starvation was never far from these people. And he's saying, blessed are you who hunger and thirst for rightness. You're going to be filled. I just love this very much. So if you look at it through the lens of starvation, it's a whole new picture. So when you give your life to God, to Christ, just like my wife was talking about, you hunger and thirst for a whole new set of things, right? When you get that letter, it's a brand new thing. And I don't know about you, but my whole life I've defined myself through what I've done or haven't done by all of my past. My whole definition of me has been from the past. A super easy thing to do. And I've also learned that if I think the same way, I'm going to produce the same things. Like, and I know you guys know all this. You guys are all super good at this. But I can tell you this, if I'm producing the same things, I can know this. I'm thinking the same way. I can know that. I can know that. If I'm producing the same things in body and in soul, then I'm thinking the same thoughts I was thinking before. Check this out, guys. This was so encouraging to me this week. You know, I have temptations all around me all the time. I struggle, and we have to face them down. I have a sponsor. I have people I turn to. But I was so encouraged this week by Daniel chapter 3 when King Nebuchadnezzar is standing there saying to these guys, he's saying to these super bad boys, right? Anybody know their names? The three guys, the fiery furnace? That's awesome. I just didn't want to say it because I thought I might spit or something. What did Nebuchadnezzar tell him? He has this giant statue. He says, I want you to bow down. I want you to serve my gods, right? I want you to bow down. If you don't, I'm going to throw you in the fiery furnace. What God can save you from my hand? And these are bad boys, right? And they step up and go, well, first of all, we're not going to bow down. First and foremost, we don't even have to talk about this. We're not bowing down. And our God could save us from this. And even if he doesn't, we're still not going to bow down. Yeah, right? I'm like, these guys are awesome. These are the bad to the bone dudes. These are these guys, right? These are bad dudes. In my book, all right, here come the monsters, casting a shadow. Could I walk with those guys? Could I be one of the guys? Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Stan, right? Yeah, with my little thing of almond milk. It could be. And you know what? My wife works, my daughter works. There's times everybody's gone, I'm standing there, and guess what comes on to me? Hey, Stan, this would be a great time to binge on a bunch of porn. Hey, this would be a great time to dig around, see what kind of pills you could find. Hey, Stan, this would be a great time to go on some kind of binge and get into something because life is boring. Come on, let's do it, right? And you know what I hear? I love this so much. I'm so encouraged by these bad dudes. Do you want to be a bad dude? You want to be a bad dude? Like when it's on you. What is it? You know, maybe you don't face those things, right? Maybe you don't face those things. I do. I deal with that. What do you deal with? What's on you? Like, what is it that's whispered to you? Hey, do this or do that. Get into a bunch of this. Give in to that, right? And you know, it was so cool when I was reading this. I actually watched a YouTube video, of like a cartoon version of it, and I'm all getting teared up, drinking my milk, going, wow, look at these guys. They're so awesome, right? Because the thing is, I walked out my front lawn, and I'm feeling all these temptations just getting bombarded, and basically they were saying this. Stan, I want you to bow down to my gods. I want you to serve. Go ahead and bow down. Give in to this. I want you to just binge on this stuff, right? Because if you don't, I'm going to throw you into a fiery furnace of cravings and all these, detox feelings. And I'm going to just ruin your day, and you're going to have all these desires. I'm going to throw you in a fiery furnace, and who could save you from my hand if you resist? And I promise you guys this, man, it was so fun to turn around on my lawn and go, I will not bow down and serve your gods. I will not do it. My God could save me from this. I want you to know he could. He is very able. My God's very able to save me from this. But even if he doesn't, I will not bow down. And I became a bad dude in that moment, right? I began to walk with these guys. And I'm not saying that it's always that way, but it's a powerful thing to walk like this. I love walking like this. And so one of the things we talked about here before when we did this retraining your subconscious mind, you guys remember that one? It's on our podcast. We had a blank page and said your life is like a blank page when you're a little baby. You grow up and you get programmed. You know, here's what I do with anxiety. Here's what I do with pain. Here's what I do with rejection. Here's what I cope with boredom. You know, and you have these things. And you begin to wire yourself a certain way. And we talked about this. And then here's your future. Your future is a blank page. Isn't that cool? And we talked about this thing where if I handed out blank pages with a pen and said, draw something real quick, most of us would draw something. I would draw the same goofy little dog that I've drawn since I was like 6 years old. Right? That's what most people do. And the easiest thing to do when we are faced with a future is to take what's on here and put it on here. That's what we're tempted to do. It's the easiest thing to do is take what's here. Remember what all these mean? What I do with my wounds, what I do with my pain, what I do with boredom, how I deal with life, how I see myself, my belief systems, my wounds, all this stuff. Take this and put it on there and reproduce into my future what has always been in my life. And God promises us it does not have to be that way. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? I thought that was so amazing. So what is this woman doing that gets this letter and she opens the door now? She reads this. My husband's on his way home. You're all in trouble. He's coming. Lake's going to be yours. I don't have the vision of how he's going to fix it. I don't understand the no more sea and all this stuff. But he knows what he's doing. He always has. And we're going to do it together. We're going to do it together, me and my husband. And we're going to rock this place. We got mad vision. What is she doing at that moment? What she is doing is she is creating her future from her destiny. She is creating her life out of her future. She's drawing from her future and saying, this is my now. This is what I'm doing now. I'm not taking from the past and go, oh, but I've always, anyone that's saying, but I can't, or I don't do that. I've never done that. I've never liked that. That's all past. That's all looking at the past going, here's my future because this is what's always been. This is the way it is. It's not looking at the destiny and the future. What God's saying is absolute truth and drawing from that future going, I'm creating now from there instead of creating now from there. And this is what my wife has done. This is what she was talking about. This is what happened to her. And this is how she trained herself in this. And I just think this is super powerful. Okay, so can I get a little bit of music? Just a little light music. This would be my last big rant, okay, guys? Ready for my last big rant? Okay, great, great rant. Okay, check it out. The scripture says that when we're standing between how it is now and the way we know it should be, the person that is standing on that bridge, wanting the way it should be, starving for the way it should be, that person's blessed. He says that's the person that's blessed. So let me ask you this question. So I got the music on. What are you hungry for the most? Like really? Like when you can live this earth, body, soul, spirit, however you want to do this, but what are you really hungry for the most? And again, I'm talking starvation, guys. I'm talking starvation. What are you starving for? What's most important to you, really? Like, really? What would your friends that know you the most say, this is what I think is most important to you? And what would your kids say? If you had a burden for a certain group of people out in the world, what group of people would that be? Super cool questions, guys. Think about that group of people and how they're broken, what the need is. Could be a number of things, but think about all the relational breakdowns that are going on for that group of people to have that plight or that problem. Think about the hundreds and hundreds of relational breakdowns. Because I'll tell you this, heaven's strategy has always been and always will be relationship. That's heaven's strategy. It's how we're going to get it done. It's how it's going to happen. It's how the kingdom of God advances. That's how it works. Heaven's strategy is relationship. So, hearing that, I just ask you to just put your hand on your stomach if you want to here. And only you can answer this question. And just the reason I say your stomach, because you know, just imagine you're just starving hungry. And answer this question. I'm starving to live in a world. All right, let's start over. I think you had it right. Okay, you can repeat after me. Ready, guys? I hunger. I'm starving to live in a world where, and then you got to fill in the blank. See, that's what you want. See, I'll just tell you this here, guys. You got to take this super personal. Like, you got to take this super personal or it won't do it. But I'll tell you this. The scripture tells me, this is what he's telling me, that when heaven and earth meet and all this is going on, guess what? I'm going to serve in his temple. And was the stuff like Glenna was reading about what happened to her. My grandfather did this. This happened to me. I was a drug addict. I was homeless. Now I'm not. Now I'm up here. Is that's the main? That's not the main event. I mean, I act like that's the main event. You know, what's your life about, Sam? Well, let me tell you my testimony. That's not the main event. That's part of my life. That's an important part of my life. The main event is when heaven comes to earth and we serve him and we live with him and we rule with him. He's coming back. He's bringing his victory and he's going to make every wrong right. My goodness. We hunger and thirst for our own rightness. I want to be right. And I hunger and thirst for your rightness, for the rightness of the world, for things to be made right. I hunger and thirst. And you know what? I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm super blessed in that. That woman holding that letter, knowing he's on his way home, she's living every day with such a great hope and knowing it's all going to be made right. And we're doing it together. Let me pray. Father, thank you for the gospel message. Thank you that we can live from our future instead of living from our past. I thank you for that, and I pray this hope would be made real in every heart, and we'd just be set ablaze by your coming, your absolute certain return. I thank you for it, and letting us be part of it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, guys. Cool.